said you didn't have any questions. We're about to bail out here because the rest of this session is kind of questions and answers. And because I really don't have much to say. I'm going to have plenty to say in the next couple of days. Part of the manual tonight, and I'll assign it to you as a group, but part of the manual tonight contains several races, half a dozen races, that I accumulated in my last trip to Las Vegas back in October. And you'll find those when you get the manual tonight. Spend some time with them all. We'll handicap them tomorrow as a group. We'll do the first one as a group. Then the next one will take some time for you to do it on your own, and the next one a little more time, and we'll put them all up on the board. And we'll be using the Thoromation program because it's very descriptive. It's in a Phase 3 format, which I really like. And these are races that I've played, and if I didn't win them, there's a definite reason. You probably win one or two of these that I did not win. And it's a good exercise, and they're very representative races. And you'll find that I have converted to another program. That's what Howard said. It's the first time I've ever done that. I mean, I joined Howard in 1983, and I'm using the same program until a month ago with variations that I used when I started. And I have recently gone to the Thoromation program. I just think it's a dynamite program, but it's like any other program. It's what Marion had said a little while ago. I'll have people come up, especially at Del Mar, because there's a cluster of people down there at the Intertrack site, and they'll come over and they say, and I get there maybe twice a month, I guess, to Del Mar, and someone will come up and say, Energy had this one. Phase 3 had this one. That's baloney. I mean, the person that had that one was the person running the whole operation, right, the show. If you handicap, if your principles are all intact, your fundamentals are intact, any of these programs, for the most part, will deliver it. Where we go wrong as a group, and I've seen a lot of that. I want to compliment everybody, first of all. One of the talks that I've given in the last couple of times is that that for the most part, you're a lot better than you think you are, and that still holds. I think that's true. I have run into a number of people over... I've been here... It's my ninth day in town. I'm really getting tired now. But I've run into a number of you in the race books, and not once has anybody come up and said, who do you like? Nobody. Wow. People have come up. Yeah, I mean, I'm really proud of that. I'm free with my opinion, and I will always say, I mean, say, well, how do you look at this race? Or here's how, and normally what I do is turn it around and say, well, how do you look at this race? And then we'll talk about it, because I'll give my opinion. But no one's come up and just said flat out, who do you like? And I really like that. I'm proud of you all, because that has not always been the case. Pardon? I hate that. Oh, yeah, but you were kidding. Yeah, all right, I know who that is. Now, he came up to me this morning and said, give me a horse in the first race. What track? Anyway, I do like this program. We're going to be talking about it. But it's like anything else. It's hard work, and I guarantee you that anybody that uses that should be using it like any other program, and that is documenting the hell out of it. And because that's exactly the way I picked it up. And back in October, I had played well most of the year, began to make, you know, you play all year long, you begin to make mistakes at various times of the year. And I had just gone through a phase that I didn't play very well. And I was going through a phase that I played just okay. And I'm driving home from my last trip, and I told Quinn, I said, I'm going to try this new program. And I called Howard and I said, I'm going to use it for a while. Because I had liked Energy at one time, but I got tired of looking at the screen and numbers that didn't make any sense to me. Program worked, though. But it just wasn't my style. This one really is. And I've probably played better for 5 weeks than I have in 5 years. I mean, it's just been incredible. And so anyway, for the first time, I don't even know what it costs. I mean, I'm not into the business at all, but I highly recommend it. But I don't recommend it as a cure-all, because you still have to handicap. And you also, like I said, you have to document the hell out of it. I mean, I keep copious records always in my handicapping. And when something shows, I go after it. And right now... this program's, I've used it at Santa Anita, and I've used it here, and something always shows. That's the same way in Phase 3 for the most part. Some factor always shows a strength. And people ignore that. They don't keep, how many of you keep a detailed model? That's only about a third of the room, maybe not that many. Well, I tell you, I used Energy for a while, and I kept detailed documents on Energy also. And I found that there was always one factor outperforming the rest, regardless of what the variegate said. And this is the same thing, and I keep very close records of it. But if you're not doing that, I got to tell you, it's like we've always used the doctor analogy, right? You don't read a book and go out and take somebody's appendix out. You know, I hope not mine, anyway. It's like a golfer that shoots 85 all the time, shoots 175 and he goes on the tour. You know, you don't become a full-time player that way either. And if you're not in touch with your strengths and your fundamentals, you can't make it here. And unless you can look at your records and say exactly what's winning or losing for you, you're not equipped to play the game. Let me back off just, except as a hobbyist. Not everybody in here wants to make a lot of money at it. A lot of them, I know several friends here that live here in Las Vegas that are retired, just don't need the money. They just play for the recreation. They just love playing the races. And if they break even, that's fine. I don't argue with them anymore. I just, you know, that's long past that, and there's no reason to. If that's your goal, that's fine. But if your goal is to make money and be successful at the racetrack, then you've got to be in touch with your game. And the only way to do that is by keeping your records. And I've been playing this a long time, and I've done very well at it. I've just finished my fourth year of early retirement, and I'm 51, and I just wouldn't trade what I do for anything in the world, right? But I got to tell you, I've never put those records aside. I keep them now just like I did when I first started doing it. And so I recommend that to you. And if you're the kind of person that can just survive beyond that and don't have to, and you do not have to keep those records, well, that's fine. I mean, if you can do that, but I guarantee you there are not, this group's probably got 100 people in it. I doubt if there's one person in the group that can do that successfully. If you can, you know, more power to you. You're going to see some ratings that we'll put on the board tomorrow. Howard's covered all but some of the more exotic ones. When they go up tomorrow, as we handicap these races, we'll do them as a group. I'll put them on the board, and we'll put up the disc that I saved so we can see the race itself. And there'll be some factors that we'll have to explain tomorrow. But for the most part, you have them. I mean, it's just kind of, if it's not the basic material you've had in the past, they're just, it's a more complicated version of that. And there are some acceleration, deceleration factors that you should be aware of. But we'll see it tomorrow. We'll explain it. Like I said, the only thing I want to impart to you is that if anybody's got any questions on how to keep a model, I hope not, because it's, you know, we've got a manual devoted to it. It's in the book. The questions, you know, hopefully aren't well, how do you do it? You know, I would hope they're more subtle than that. But any questions you might have, any part of this, contender selection, anything, I'll be happy to talk with you and answer any questions. If not, we have a nice break until till the evening. Yes? Well, there are some, all right, yes. He says, I like Thurimation better. First of all, I like numbers to start with, and I'm comfortable with them, and I can pigeonhole them okay. So, I mean, there are more readouts with that. And you get more, Hollywood and Santa Anita, even though the numbers are the same that are coming back to you, the values of those numbers differ dramatically between Santa Anita and Hollywood Park. That's the nice thing about it. And you have a better look at the race, and you're not quite as subject to the 10 feet per beaten length, exactly this amount. It's not quite like that. There are different values for beaten lengths, and there are acceleration-deceleration factors involved. So you get an entirely different look at the race that you cannot get with a basic Phase 3. And so far, I'm very impressed with it. And like I said, I'm not trying to sell it to you, but I'm just telling you that I'm coming out of the closet in effect here. I mean, several people said, well, Brohammer's using energy a couple of years ago. Well, I was for a short period of time, but I had not converted to another program. So I will tell you that that's exactly what I've done. You were sitting behind me over at the, I was trying to figure out how that word got over there. Yeah, it was major. I forgot you were back there. I was shaking. That was a score. That was a nice score. Yes. The one I'm looking at is, all right, Howard will answer that one. Are there any, in fact, why don't we answer it now? We'll just do this together. Yeah.
There are five different versions of Thurimation, scaled for every pocketbook. The one that Tom is using is called Super Matchup, which gives you numbers which he finds very valuable. It's based on velocity, but with velocity deceleration thrown in. Has numerical readouts, but the primary readouts that show you how the race is unfolding are in the Thurimation, where the horses actually run across the screen, in the stop action instant preplay. That, and then there's one like a lower one from that, which has no Thurimation, just the two stop action preplay screens and the numbers. That's the least expensive. There's a Super Cajun, which has the Cajun as you see it now practically, but with Thurimation and stop action instant preplay. So if the numbers confuse you, which to many people they do, then you just press the button and they run across the screen and hopefully in the proper order. Then there is EXDC, which has does not have the deceleration in it, the final readout of deceleration, which is probably the strongest one of any of the readouts. But it has Thurimation and stop action instant preplay. Then there's the more expensive, the most expensive, even the best, which most of you have. I think you have it. Most of you have it. It's called EXDC Cajun Combo, which has everything and all the bells and all the whistles, and it has a final screen, which if you can't get rid of non-contenders from that final screen, I would suggest that you maybe Talk to Jimmy. He's got a little guppy ranch that he's selling franchises on. So the reason there are five versions is that some people will take the most advanced version and be able to use all of its numbers and get the kind of fabulous results that Marion keeps telling me he's getting. What, you still at 90%? There's also things we'll discuss. There's some spot plays when both the automatic, now Tom does not use the manual adjustment because he's so good at knowing about pars and about who belongs in a res, he never has to use the manual. But unfortunately, that's not true with everybody. So we find that those who get the same two horses on the automatic and the manual adjustment, they only get about 8 or 9 a week, but they're winning at a clip of 80 to 90% with those. That's the greatest spot play we've ever come up with. Is that about what you're doing? Anyway, we've got to have you. You're the testimonial. You'll sit up here and put up a sign. I use it. I didn't mean to belabor it, but there are, and the reason is, it's designed for every skill level and every pocketbook. We're making a special price at this seminar for the top program is $395. It's $495, $100 off. So $395. So I would suggest that for seminar people, if they decide to get it at the seminar, they take advantage of that. Otherwise, you can start at like $295, I think, for the one without thoromation, just the stop-action plays on the velocity. Tom's using the middle-priced one and doing very, very well with it. Yes, sir?
Can I make a little test?
Get up here and come up here and do it on the microphone. We got cameras. We got...
Yeah. This is not a microphone.
Yeah, we'll get your question just
soon. This is not a sales session.
No, this is not a sales session. My wife is what you call a very lucky player. If she puts her hand on a horse, it's over. It doesn't matter. $1,400 double. It doesn't matter. When the first day that we took the new thoromation thing to the book, and we like to play Florida because the prices there are always to the better side of anything. So anyhow, we ran these last two races through, and she's now looking at the pictures, and she says, "That's cute." And then she sees the other. "Oh, look at that! That's called an everything horse." In the ninth race, in the tenth race, they go along there, had an extra race at 11th and whatever it was. So she looks at the other race and says, "Oh, look, there's another everything race." I says, yeah, fine, okay. In the meantime, I'm busy, and I don't know. I forgot they had a late double at Florida. So she's still counting the money from this $56 double that she killed. And I had the two horses, so after I'm collecting, she says, "Well, go pick up my double ticket." I says, "Oh, my God, I forgot the double, 56. She got $5,600, and I'm picking up on two winners. I'm killing myself. And she says, "This is very simple. Look at they run across, and they're so easy." I says, "Yeah, it's that easy, hon. That easy. That's fine." But it's unbelievable, the difference. And I think I told Doc yesterday, I had to take a middle fraction horse in the third. I only played one race at Florida, yes, in the third race. And this horse really should have gone 7 furlongs. And I see his feet are dragging in the beginning of the picture. And all of a sudden, he goes across the screen. I says, "I can't bet this horse to win alone. I can't. I got to back up." So I put from the 6th furlong, I made a 7 furlonger. With 7, I know the horse. So with 60, I get beat by a $70 horse. But a $9 place horse for 2, not bad, you know. But I only played him the place. But the screen, the other way, if I would have been looking at those figures, I would have been, you know, playing against the hope that... But it's right there. It was unbelievable, and it showed the two favorites that weren't fair. They're fighting it out in the middle of the screen, and they're dying, and this horse is coming. And I got a jockey, an 8% rider on him, so right away I know it. This guy doesn't belong on the horse, so you don't play him to win. You know, that's...
Thank you. Lee. You know. Would you buy a used car from this man?
Yeah. I used to sell him back. That's how I got rich. Okay.
Now, thanks. Now, after all of that, I guarantee that some of you can lose with it. I'm serious, and it's not Mr. Amazo's catch-all everything program. As much as I like it, but you're doing right, and I find that the watching the horses run across the screen is a pain in the neck for me because I have a slow computer and they take forever to go across. So I start doing all kinds of other things. That's my take on that, but I. It does. It really does work, but you can screw it up by not putting. And I confess that I use my variance with it, so I adjust the lines before I put them in. Don't let the computer make that adjustment. And it's just been dynamite. And I do not win 90%. I mean, you're doing better than I am, because I do not win anywhere near that. But it's been a very, very good winning experience with it. Yeah.
Why did you not take the one with all the bells and whistles?
Because that's the only one that Howard gave me. I didn't know there was another one. I saw it earlier. I mean, I've had it for a while now, and it probably just expanded on it. I mean,
I didn't want to give him anything that didn't have the word velocity in it.
Oh. Yeah, it puts my name on the front when it's booting. It says registered to Tom Brohammer. And I don't want one that's not registered to Tom Brohammer. No.
It says really modern space handicapping.
Yeah, it said really, really modern. All right, yes.
Yes, I've been using your bands probably for about the last month, and you've been doing rather well.
Oh, thank heavens. Yes.
And one thing, probably the main reason I'm here is, are you going to talk at all about how to make projected bands? Because I'm starting to play, I live down in San Diego and play the form book, so I'm compiling all my Bay Meadows.
Yeah, no, we're not. And that's not the subject of this class, because, you know, for the most part, people aren't going to keep them, and I keep them. I don't know anybody else in here that does it. And I got to tell you, for the most part, and I would be giving up some advantage not to use the variants. But, you know, I'll run them through in a hurry sometimes, because it's quicker to just run them through rather than have to stop and put the adjustment in or the zero in for each horse. And for the most part, it comes up with the same horse. It may shuffle it a little bit occasionally. But I wouldn't think you're giving up too big an advantage not to be using it. Now, as far as variants, I've got a waiting list of people that want me to do the variant class again. And I will do that either down in Beaumont, or we'll do it somewhere else. But and if you're getting with my variants, I'll let you know on the mailing list. Okay, so we'll take care of that, but not here. It's just not appropriate. Yeah.
See where it fits in the Brohammer schedule, probably May. He usually has one weekend open in May.
This has been a good year. You know, we spent time in Hawaii and 50 days up in the mountains. It's been a good year. I mean, that's why I don't play all year. That's why I play so intensively during the Santa Anita meeting, so I can do these things the rest of the year. So, yeah.
One more question I have is, I'm confused a little bit about, as far as in pace line selection and form cycles, a lot of times being a new player, I was interested, and I had the go to school about 2 years ago, and I've really started playing it full time here for about the last 3 months, and pretty much have been paying my tuition and all the rest of my bills. What I've been doing is, in order to help me, is I've been reading some of, you know, like Quinn's work, like recreational handicapping, and some of I forgot the other book he wrote about.
I can't hear you in the back.
How does that fit into your philosophy? Because he does quote you a lot.
Whenever he quotes me, it fits into my philosophy perfectly. Otherwise, we've had some differences, but that's they're mute. We're going to go into tonight and tomorrow extensively into detecting form cycles. And actually, what this seminar is about, and I think Tom has already said it, the most important thing is not your program. Well, sure, the bells and whistles make it much easier and point out the higher mutes, but the most important thing is to teach you how to get the proper contenders into the computer. And if you got the proper contenders in the computers, these secondary things become just that, secondary, because the computer will pretty well sort them out. So that's the thrust of this seminar, beyond the beginner's session. And we have in this program, Tom didn't mention, I want to answer this gentleman's question before Tom mentions it. You had a question, you've been raising your hand. Yes, sir.
I want to know, will it fit in the
13-5? No.
In about five of them.
No, I can't. I'm sorry, sir, the graphics... what you have is animation, and you have stop-action animation, where horses stop at the various points of the race, and this can only be done on a large screen, on a large computer.
Do you have a demo?
Yes. The whole session tomorrow, we're going to move these tables out when Tom comes on at 11, and we're going to move them out until the night, and everybody's going to sit theater style up close, and Spencer's going to have a huge rear screen projector, and all these horses will be running across the screen. Now, I'd like Tom to explain one feature of this to all of you, because how many of you recall from page 34 to page 48 of the Yellow Manual, the much maligned Yellow Manual, we talked about evaluating a horse from the pace of the horse, pace of the race. This program has that feature on it where you can measure a horse's pace against the pace it ran against. You want to talk about that? Because we put that little backup thing just for you.
Oh, I haven't been using it. But it is a good feature to have. You should look at the, you know, I mean, especially when you're beginning. The feature is that the program has an option whereby you can look at the pace of the race, the horse's performance against the pace of the race he exits. It's a good feature to have. And you really should be familiar with that, because you'll find that there's definitely a pattern. Horse that loses against the pace of the race from start to finish, those horses, even if they run fairly fast, are usually losers next time out. Not always. But you'll get a good feel for that kind of thing, that pattern. Because most of this is pattern recognition anyway. The contenders. We were talking about the Quinn book. The last recreational handicapping, his section in there on pace lines and contender selection is very good. His tape, the videotape, if you just stop it partway through, it's very good also. The PBS, PDQ numbers, all right. But the section on contender selection and pace line selection, that's very good in both of those, because that's exactly what I do. And when I taught that class down in Beaumont a couple of years ago, we have the tapes for, it's exactly the format I presented. That's how I pick my contenders. And I always address the last pace line, period. Always address it. I don't always use it, but I always address it. Because that's the only current absolute look you have at the horse's form, one way or the other. And if you ignore that, you wind up betting horses that just turn and go backwards partway through the field. He said, "God, I guess he just ran this last race again." Well, often they do.
That's where the pace of the race, pace of the horse is vital. That last race would look pretty bad. Sometimes you'll find he ran against a supremely fast pace, and he's really better, and you leave him out because he's beaten too many lengths by your criterion, and he comes out number one. My son will have a race like that tonight, he'll show you.
Yeah, I've seen a number pace the rest of the way around. Well, it was beaten and actually wouldn't fit some of the contender guidelines you might have. And yet the horse will come out very strongly, and I've had a number of them win here just recently. And, you know, at one time I've had to change a lot of my thinking, because I do believe the horses are sucked along against with a fast race sometimes. But I'm also finding that a lot of these are winning, so I'm kind of revising that to some extent. Yes, ma'am. Times.